Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said most of us go through life not knowing what we want, but feeling sure we don't have it. We appreciate the opportunity of Bible study. It's great to be able to read those words that have been recorded as God guided men to write them down. The Bible is inspired, and it's not just a book of man, it's a book from God. We're glad you're listening. Let's return now to our study, and we were looking at Mark the 12th chapter and begin about verse 18 when the Sadducees came to the Master wanting to know about a situation where one man had married, he had died, and Moses' law said that his brother was to marry this woman and raise up seed unto her brother, and this happened with seven different men. And then she died, and their question was, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? Jesus pointed out to them that they were in religious error. Why were they wrong? Why had they made a mistake along this line? Well, the Lord explains that. You don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Word of God. Friends, there are many people in our world today who have very little, if any, knowledge of God's Word. They don't study the Bible. All they ever do is just listen once in a while when someone mentions a passage. They don't know where it is in the Bible. They've never read it for themselves, but they just know somebody has made some reference to the Bible. Well, friends, that's not enough. We ought to be studying daily from the Word of God. Imagine having the road map from earth to heaven and then setting out on our trip, on our journey, without ever reading the map. Why do we have the map? It's to tell us which direction to go. Therefore, we ought to be reading it and studying it diligently. Paul told Timothy to give diligence to make a study of God's Word so that we might stand approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. So the Bible has to be divided. It has to be understood in the light of that division of the Word of God. Now, let me suggest to you an effort that is made in Bible study is made much easier when we follow the principles of proper study of any book. You don't start at the back. You start at a proper place. And you're dividing the book so that you know what you're reading about when you read from it. The Old Testament, we've already mentioned, there are two divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But each of those divisions have divisions within themselves. If you would take a pencil and write down these numbers, that'll help you in your understanding of the Old Testament. The numbers are 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means this. The first five books of the Old Testament are books of law. The next 12 books are books of history. The next five books are books of poetry. The next five are the major prophets. And the last 12 books are the minor prophets. Now let's look at that again. 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. Law, history, poetry, major prophets, and minor prophets. If I want to know about the history of the children of Israel, I read about that primarily in the division called history. If I want to know about the writings of poetry and devotion, I would be reading the Psalms and books of that nature, and I would go to the division of poetry in the Old Testament. The major prophets are so termed because they wrote longer letters or longer books than the minor prophets did. So when I look for the writings of Isaiah, I'm looking at one of the major prophets. He wrote more than some of the other prophets, or Jeremiah. If I'm looking at minor prophets, I might be looking at Amos, or looking at some of the minor prophets who wrote less in the Bible than did the major prophets. Now that ought to help us to understand the Old Testament. The books of law tell us about God giving his old covenant. The books of history tell us of the history of the building of a nation of Israel. The books of poetry are those books of devotion from the Old Testament. And then the major prophets and the minor prophets tell of how the children of God were called to follow God and to reject the ideas and the ways of men. That helps in understanding what the Old Testament is about. Now let's look at the New Testament. There also is a division of the New Testament. Instead of having five divisions like we did with the Old Testament, here are four numbers. Write these down as well. The numbers are 4, 12, 4, 12, 21, 1. The idea of 4 is these are the four books of biography. The next is history, one book. And that's the history of the New Testament church, the book of Acts. The next 21 books are the books of epistles, letters written to churches or to individuals. And then finally, the last book is the book of prophecy or the book of Revelation. So when I have 4, 1, 21, 1, I have the division of the New Testament. That's biography, history, epistles, prophecy. Well, keeping that in mind, then I can understand. If I want to know about the life of Christ, I'll go to the four books of biography. If I want to know about heaven and the description given by God, I'll go to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. If I want to know how to live as a Christian ought to live, I'll go to the books that have to do with Christian living, and so the epistles. Well, that ought to help us in understanding the Bible. Notice, the Old Testament is given to the Jew, the New Testament given to Jew and Gentile, and the books within those divisions are clearly understood when they are properly categorized. Now, I'm saying that only so that we'll be able to study our Bible and make more sense of the things that are recorded. It's not a good method of Bible study just to say, today I'm going to read Matthew, tomorrow I'm going to read Romans, the next day I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, and just keep jumping back and forth and try to make sense of it. It needs a proper division. So when somebody says, we're under the Old Covenant, we're under the Old Testament, we are not surprised when they try to bind the Sabbath law upon people today, even though that law was taken out of the way. That was a law given to the Jew as a national monument and memorial to the Jewish people. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. But the New Testament tells of the disciples on the first day of the week meeting together for their worship. Look at Acts 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Then in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, when the disciples came together on the first day of the week, they were instructed, lay by in store as you're prospered. That's on the first day of the week. And notice Paul said, I gave order to the churches of Galatia, I'm also giving order to you as well. Lay by on the first day of the week. And so the first day of the week has significance to the Christian. Why? Because, first of all, it's the resurrection day. Jesus came forth on the first day of the week. Second of all, it's the day that the church had its beginning. Look at the second chapter of the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost was on Sunday, or the Lord's Day. And that's the day that has significance to the child of God. With this, we want to continue our application tomorrow. We do hope that you'll be listening, and would like to remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.